The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm
cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like Dan Orlovsky is someone who is usually very complimentary of the Green Bay Packers and Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love. So when he steps up on the variety of shows that he appears on ESPN, this one happens to be from Get Up. But when he steps up, like, I listen if he has something, and I wouldn't say this is necessarily critical, but it's not complimentary of Jordan Love. So I think it's certainly something that when he says this, I think it's something we all know, but I think it carries a little more weight when it comes from the former NFL quarterback on ESPN.
Jordan Love and the Packers, are they going to blow out Caleb Williams and the struggling Bears? And if so, then why?
Well, they won't if Jordan Love continues to make plays like this. I love Jordan Love, but in seven starts this year, he's got 10 picks and four fumbles. Do the math. That's two times a game. It's like, oh my gosh, I regret that decision. And he's got to get rid of these two plays a game where it's, I think I can do the thing that nobody else on the planet can do, this YOLO style of football, this there's no consequence to my decisions. If he gets to that, yeah, then they're going to blow out Chicago, and they're a legit contender to Detroit.
Fudge it moment.
Fudge it moments, yes.
Fudge it moment.
Something we all say all the time.
Fudge it.
How old is he?
Well, you can't say
YOLO?
The other
YOLO style of football?
Oh, yeah.
Is he 50, 60, 70 years old?
I mean, he's not wrong.
When's the last time you said YOLO, unironically?
I don't know if I've ever said YOLO.
Joshy?
I've never said it non-ironically.
I think I may have said it way
you
back
were
in the
a
day.
YOLO guy.
Okay, but in my defense, that was a popular term when, like, I was in, like, middle school.
I was about to say you were in eighth grade. Like, you get a pass. Your brain wasn't fully formed yet.
I don't know if it still is, to be real honest with you. What age are you supposed to have a fully formed brain? Is there an age for that?
Look, the doctor of the show is Chewy. He's the one who would know this type of information. He's currently not here.
Okay, fair
so
enough.
So anyway, I rely on him.
To your point on Orlovsky.
Mid to late 20s.
Okay, so I'm probably still not there.
All right.
I turn 26 next month.
Explains a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, actually.
Now you got a built-in excuse.
Nice.
Hey, my brain's just not fully formed yet.
Yeah.
Cut me some slack.
Yeah.
Brain's not fully formed yet. But Orlovsky's 100% right. Like, it's, and we talked a little bit about this with Jason. It is just the decision-making of Jordan Love. And I heard yesterday on KBN, Kyle saying how he's expecting Jordan Love to play exactly the same way he did in the second half of last season. I'm not expecting that. I don't know if we'll ever get, and this is not an indictment on Jordan Love, I don't know if we'll ever get that type of stretch of football from Jordan Love ever again in his career. Like, 18 touchdowns to one pick over a half of a season, like, that's outrageous.
That's more than MVP play, right?
Yes.
Like, that's absurd bar to reach.
That's an absurd, like, bar. And so, again, that's not offensive to Jordan Love. That's not saying he can't be an MVP candidate one day. I just don't know if we're going to get that hot of a stretch from Jordan Love again. But if he cleans up his decision-making, Strophy, to just four interceptions? Because the big plays are there. He hasn't thrown a touchdown in the last two games for the Packers. But, I mean, the interceptions are just too much to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the big plays are certainly going to be there. I think they're going to continue to be there. If he can pair that with not turning the football over, that's what turns this team into a legitimate contender.
Yeah, and, you know, it goes back to preseason expectations. We saw what he was capable of, which, to your point, we might not ever see that level again, but we saw what he was capable of. He, at least momentarily, became the highest paid quarterback in football year over year, and he hasn't played like that guy yet. He hasn't been awful. I wouldn't even say he's been bad. He's had bad moments. Without a doubt, several of them.
And even though the numbers are kind of similar, I mean, I think he had 14 touchdowns to 10 picks. I feel like there have still been some of those splash moments, you know, those splash throws in the first half of this year versus what we saw last year. Like, last year you saw a couple of times.
It was a figuring
out
process,
very,
right?
Yeah. But I think we've still seen a lot of the guy we saw in the second half of the season last year, but you pair that with the drops and the interceptions, mm-hmm. and that's really going to make the numbers
look not very good versus how he plays 80% of the time.
You're totally right. And just quick correction, it's 15 touchdowns and 10 interceptions for Love on the season.
I was saying last year, I think it was 14 and 10. I think it was 14 and 10 through the first 9 games last year.
Was it?
I think it was.
Wow. I guess I didn't realize that. So that is oddly similar. But yeah. No, he's been more consistent this year, I would argue, with some of those mistakes built in. But to your point, the explosiveness of this offense has been much more on display in the first half of this season than it was last year. And some of the capabilities, even with Malik Willis playing quarterback game, right? And I know he isn't, in terms of a passer, the most explosive quarterback in the league by any means. But the effectiveness of this system and the Matt LaFleur-led offense has been much more on display in what it's capable of this year than it was a year ago in the first half of the season. Now, much like last year, I think you can expect a step up after the bye week. I think you can expect that this is going to get to the next level offensively. And with that does come less dropped passes, less penalties, less turnovers, less pick sixes thrown by Jordan Love. That is a completely fair expectation for us as Packers fans to have going into the second half of the season. So when it comes to Love, hasn't been his best. He's done some good things.
How many interceptions do you think he finishes the season with?
I was just about to ask you the same question. 8 games left?
Yep.
We're just talking regular season?
Yep.
Got to stay under 15. 15 or less.
I agree with that. So have 5 or less in the final 8 games.
Exactly.
I would prefer 4. Like, there's just something about every other game that makes me feel comfortable if you sprinkle in a 5th one because you had 2 in one game. Whatever. I can live with that. But I think you start... If it's more than 5, if you get into that 6 range, like I feel like you're going to be concerned about his decision-making heading into games against good teams in the playoffs.
Here's what would make me feel really good about this weekend. With a win on Sunday, which I think they'll get, obviously. 0 interceptions.
Yep.
No interceptions by Jordan Love. 4 or 5 sacks defensively. And a double-digit win. Check those 3 boxes. Mm-hmm. I feel really good about this team's chances down the stretch.
If they don't turn the ball over, that honestly, like if we're looking at beyond just, you know, Jordan Love stats or Jaden Reed stats or just individual stats, if we're looking at one thing from this game that would make me feel really good going forward, it is if Jordan Love does not have any turnovers.
Agreed.
Because the Bears defense, they're 6th in the league in turnovers.
They're not like, slouches.
So they are a good team at turning the other team over. And if Love avoids turnovers of a team like that versus the Packers going out and getting 7 or 8 sacks against this Bears offensive line, like they're a sieve. They're terrible. Mm-hmm. They just cut one of their, you know, preseason starters because he just had not been living up to expectations. This offensive line is terrible. I need more to feel good about the pass rush. And there's nothing they can do against the Bears to make me feel good about that. If he avoids a turnover against this defense, I can start feeling good that, okay, here we have a baseline. We've got something to build off going forward because the Bears defense is good at creating turnovers.
Yeah, they're not a bad defense despite being a bad team, right? I mean, when you look at the points they've allowed in this 3-game losing streak, it's not like they've gotten super blown out. You know, outside of that Cardinals game, they lost 29-9. But that Commanders game, they only allowed prior to the Hail Mary, what was it? I think 12 points against the Commanders who are... I don't know if statistically they still are, but they're one of the best offenses in the league in terms of generating points. The Patriots are bad. They allowed 19 there. But all in all, they haven't been half bad at not allowing a ton of points this weekend. So if the Packers score, say, 27, 28, 30 points, you feel good about that.
Well, again, this defense, 17, 19, 21, 18, 10, 16, 18, 29, 19.
So they've allowed more than 20 twice?
Twice.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That defense has been pretty good.
Yeah, they have been.
So if you get to 24, 27, like that's
you're
going to
win. But this offense for the Bears is completely incompetent.
Yeah.
So that's what gives you faith that the Packers will absolutely win this game because the Packers have been pretty good at putting up 20-plus points.
Yeah.
Something they've consistently done all year. So that makes you feel good.
I want to tell you about our good friends at the Ewald Automotive Group. What can you do in about an hour? Well, you can take a nap, do a little bit of cleaning, lunch with a friend, watch your favorite show. You could take a yoga class, go to the gym, or you could buy a car. Yeah, that's right. You could buy a car in that time with our friends at the Ewald Automotive Group because they are trying to get you out, in and out, in about an hour. Go to ewaldauto.com, select the vehicle you're interested in, and you get an instant price. Then you get a firm trade-in offer. You can customize your payment option, even add your own protection plan. Then head to the dealership, and you are in and out in about an hour. Just one of the ways that Ewald wants to make it easy for you. So just head to the website, ewaldauto.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, it seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
So if you just asked me a very interesting question, I don't know if you realized it was interesting the moment you asked it.
Probably not.
What's with you today?
Today?
What's with you always? Why are you the way that you are?
It's a good pop.
He's an instigator.
It was kind of a good pop. All right, go ahead, Cam.
And, Joshy, I want you to answer this, too.
Oh, see? It must have been a pretty good question, Josh.
Because all week long, you know, over on KBN, they've been talking about it. They've had Big Cat on. They had Barry Alvarez on about talking about the Wisconsin Badger football team. Oh, there's a program without an identity. What's the identity of the Wisconsin Badger football team? What's the identity of the Green Bay Packers at the halfway point? Yeah, they're 6-3, but what's their identity? What is this team?
I kind of did ask you that. You're right. And my answer in the commercial break was, I don't really know yet. You know, all in all, as a franchise, we kind of know, right? Good at developing quarterbacks, good at developing offensive linemen, spotty defenses, at least the last 20 years. But this year's team, this year's identity...
Because I would argue the teams that you're chasing, the top teams, the Lions.
Oh, yeah.
The Lions know what they are.
Yep.
The Lions have an identity.
Yep.
They know exactly what they are.
Chiefs have an identity.
Chiefs have an identity. Ravens have an identity.
Niners have one, but we haven't seen it yet because they've been so beat up.
Yeah.
But we know what they are.
Well, their identity is they're injured.
Yeah.
through the first 9 games.
Yeah, that's true. When it comes to the Packers, what do we know definitively? Offense has the ability to be explosive.
I feel comfortable about that. And it seems weird maybe to say this out loud because we're used to having Brett and Aaron and just gave Jordan all that money. The thing this team does the best is run the football. I think that's the best thing that they do outside of Xavier McKinney's got a bunch of picks, but...
Mm-hmm.
That's Xavier McKinney specifically. I think no matter, because we've seen moments from, I mean, this team has been so good at running the ball that when they've given it to Chris Brooks, people go, Brooks, that's not bad. Like, that's how good they have been at running the football.
Other than his drop touchdown against Detroit. But yeah, no, all in all.
But that's not running the football. That's passing
that's
the football.
That's true. They have been really good. And now they're likely going to get that injection of Marshawn Lloyd here in the next few weeks. Defensively, like to your point,
defensively, I think they're athletic mm-hmm. in the second and third level. I think. I don't know if that's an identity, but that's just the one
it's,
thing
it's
I know.
It's a fact.
Yeah,
it's a fact. They are athletic. Yeah, I'm struggling to come up with something here, Gabe. Josh?
It's young, explosive, and mistake-prone. Those are the
like
three
the
things
one.
I can say for certain.
I don't
certain.
Like it, but he is completely right.
Yeah, no, that is their identity.
I think you can get rid of that third one. Throughout the course of the second half of the season.
Is it that quick?
I think the mistakes like last year, they kind of went away. Guys were running like the same route to the same area. Like that stuff kind of went away.
Yeah, that's been cleaned up, I would say, since the second half of last season.
And
so if that's their identity, Josh, mm-hmm. if their identity is young, explosive, mistake prone, is that an identity of a Super Bowl championship caliber team, or does that identity need to change over the next 8 games?
I think it can be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can be their identity because I don't think, and when I say explosive, I'm sort of relating that even to the defense. Like they're creating turnovers, the guys going after, yes.
Because if you take a look at like their yardage stats, it's kind of middle of the pack.
Yeah.
But they've been making the explosive big turnover. They're second or third in the league in turnovers.
Right.
So that translates over offense.
And I think the way it maybe evolves a little bit is some of those guys mature or get rid of those mistakes and they just become better at it. But like the identity is heavily tied to Matt LaFleur and head coaches, as all identities are, I think. And I think that's just going to be sort of a little bit what they are. And like Matt, like they can run the ball and they're going to keep running the ball. They probably don't run it enough. But if this team wants to be at its best, it's going to be on the back of Jordan Love. And I think Josh Jacobs is a fine identity, but I think you really want it to be through the passing game.
Josh, is something you've never said to me. Really well said. It's really well said. No, he's totally right. And I think those first two have the makeup, the first two things he pointed out, young and explosive. Those two things can make up a Super Bowl team, a Super Bowl level
team. Yeah, the third part is, to me, the part that needs to get cleaned up. If mistake prone is a part of your identity,
you're not winning the Super
Bowl. You can't be a Super Bowl championship team.
Now, the other part of that is, can you shed that from your identity in eight games? I think the answer is yes, but it has to be very prominent over the course of the next eight games, right? You're third in the league in drops. Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed are both top 10 in the league individually in drops. You need to cut down on those.
The thing that makes me nervous about, yeah, maybe they clean it up over the last eight games, because the young part, you don't know when it's going to rear its head again. And the example I will use is Jordan Love. As Jordan Love was so good for eight games,
mm-hmm.
and then the first playoff game.
Great against Dallas.
And the first 2.5 quarters against the San Francisco 49ers. And then the mistake-prone first half Jordan Love showed up in crunch time against San Francisco in the playoffs last year. And that's part of youth. That's part of youth and experience. Like, those things, the moment gets big, you know it's getting big, and you just start making the mistake-prone stuff starts coming back. That's the thing that would make me nervous, because we've seen it now for a half of a season.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can eliminate it to an extent, but to me, it's always going to be somewhere within that team lying dormant. Hopefully it doesn't come out, but it has the potential to come out and bite you in the worst moments.
It also feels like one of those things that's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, once they happen, they seem to snowball.
Oh, yeah.
So if they play a clean game and they can kind of stack those,
yep.
then I'm much more confident in it. Because the Lions game felt like there was a mistake every drive mm-hmm. on what either side of the ball. There was a third down drop. There was a touchdown drop. There was an intercept. Like, it felt like a
penalty
kept
at an inopportune time.
Right. Like, they press at a time, and they kind of get stuck in their head, and they all start, like, Tucker Kraft dropping passes. That's not something we're used to. And that came out of nowhere, and it came at a giant spot in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you kind of set the course correction, you can build on it then.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We are going to talk with Craig Karmazin. Funny how Giannis went for 59. Nobody wanted me to talk about the Bucks yesterday. Kind of, funny. Funny how that happens. We'll talk about Craig with that. We'll talk to Craig about that.
There you go.
Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's Friday.
Always love catching up with Good Karma Brands founder, CEO, Craig Karmazin, here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We do it every Friday. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, guys.
Were you in the building the other night for Giannis's 59?
You're asking me if I was in the building?
Yeah,
watching the game?
I was watching. Well, actually, I wasn't watching the game. I was on game night on ESPN Radio, so I was trying to keep an eye on it the best I could. And honestly, Craig, I gave up on the game when they were down 18. Then I kind of started paying attention a little bit, and then I saw the foul that Giannis got called for, gave up on it again, wasn't expecting the 91% free throw shooter to miss two of them. So I am asking you if you were in the building, because I know your busy schedule, man.
I'm taking
you're
that
here,
as a yes, given his
you're
response,
you're here, you're
Gabe.
There, you're well, everywhere, no, you're not always well, in
look
the
at your
when the Bucks play.
Look at your text. Look at your text. I just sent you a text.
Okay.
Josh, he has it also, and that, you know, I know that's good radio for everybody listening.
Oh, that's you.
But
oh,
I was there.
Oh, it's you and Brandon Jennings.
Yeah. So it was an amazing win. It shows why the NBA is incredible. Like, it's a Wednesday night against the Pistons. Who knows that you're going to get one of the most exciting games of the year, right? That comes out of nowhere, down 70 to 52. And then, as you said, a 90% free throw shooter misses two free throws. So it really, and also it makes you feel like as a fan, you matter. Like, do you really believe that 90% free throw shooter, if he's at home, is missing those two free throws? Like, absolutely not. So it was electric. It was an incredible win. It was great to see Gary Trent Jr. get back in the mix. Mm-hmm. It was great to see Ajax, 94 feet covering Kate Cunningham. It was just such a great win all around with the shorthanded team missing, you know, not only Chris, but Dame and Bobby.
But it was such a reminder, Craig, of what Giannis, A, is capable of, and B, means to the city, right? I mean, just the absolute electricity in Fiserv, bringing that game to overtime, scoring 59, such a reminder of what this dude means to Milwaukee.
It is incredible. It's amazing how one person can have the impact that he continues to have and put it in every night, right? Like, there's so many stars and so many players across, forget in the NBA, across sports or even at anyone's job, who you're down by that much, things don't look that good. He just kept grinding and grinding and grinding, and then all of a sudden Brooke Lopez gets hot. But absolutely, Giannis as a leader absolutely showed who he was once again that night.
Are the Bucks back?
I will not say that just yet. And okay. I don't know where we went. I still don't know where we went.
2-8. 2-8, yeah. They went somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know where we went. Those two Cavs games, right? You know, 1 point loss and a 2 point loss against the Cavs. One of them without Dame, right? Like, don't look as bad, but obviously, the Bucks were 2-8, and right now are a half game out of the play in and only one game out of the playoffs.
Yep.
So I don't think it's as much about the standings; it's about the play. And I think we'll see. You know, there's a road game tomorrow night in Charlotte. And then,
tomorrow afternoon,
you know,
weird.
Yeah, 2 o'clock, a matinee game.
Yeah, weird Saturday 2 o'clock game. That's very strange.
Yeah, then home Monday night against a really good Rockets team, right, that people don't know as well. And I think after those two games, I think we'll have a little bit of a feel, right, if all of a sudden 4 wins in a row, like, that would say something, especially a Saturday at 2 in Charlotte where I feel like, you know, you could overlook a team that has a lot of young talent. So if we win 2 in a row, I will then say we're back, which would put us at 4 wins in a row.
All right. I can accept that. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, I viewed it prior to that NBA Cup game on Tuesday, Craig, that next 11, you mentioned Detroit, they see them again. They have Charlotte twice in that stretch until they play Boston December 6th, that Friday. That 11-game stretch, I said they needed to go 8-3 through that stretch, which I think put them at 10-11 entering Boston. How many games do they need to win over the next 9 before Boston for you to fully say they're back? Is it just those 2 in a row, or do they need to hit a certain mark over the next 9?
Yeah, I don't think it's a specific number because the conference, just as we said, isn't that good from a record
right.
standpoint. So I'm not worried about, oh, if they only go 6-3 in the next 9, that they're still going to be under 500 and there's not enough time to get back. So I think it's so much more about, like, what we see on the court and how we see them defend and not have get blown by as much as they've been getting blown by, and seeing, Chris Middleton come back eventually, right? I think that's probably the biggest thing we're going to need to see. And, you know, hopefully Dame is back Saturday. But if not, hopefully we see him on Monday night.
When Barry Alvarez finally officially became a teammate, did you think he would just so seamlessly integrate himself by making fun of Ben Brust like the rest of us? I mean, he just fit in so quickly, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, Barry is the reason we're all here, right? Barry is who motivated me to come visit the state of Wisconsin to see what the University of Wisconsin was all about, because I was seeing what the football program had become. You know, when I was a freshman in college, the team goes to the Rose Bowl after you haven't heard of Wisconsin football if you're not, you know, in Big Ten country. And so all we saw in our time here was Barry just step in and be as good a leader as you can be. And the idea that within his first week of being a teammate, he could crush Ben Brust the way he did, it shows he knows how to lead.
Well, but the one thing I will, and this may sound as a criticism for Barry, but
uh-oh.
I mean, he's famously the don't flinch guy. He then showed up on KBN and he flinched when it came through this Wisconsin football team. If Barry doesn't know the direction of the Wisconsin football program, how am I supposed to have any confidence in this Wisconsin football program?
Well, that is Barry not flinching, because I think when you're in as high profile a role and mean as much to the program as he does, I think it would be really easy and expected for someone in that position to explain what he did feel the identity was and to toe the party line. But who Barry Alvarez is and why it's so cool to have him as a teammate is he's not going to BS anybody. And when he sees there's no identity of this team, when, you know, I talk to him about what he thinks about running on fourth and one out of the shotgun, you know, he's going to share his opinions on things. And he doesn't love the identity or know even what the identity of this team is.
Badgers,
I mean, he's like a lot of Badger fans, right? Like,
oh, 100%.
And Barry, by the way, he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't think it's 1950 or 1960. Like, he's not saying, oh, we need to be conservative and just run the ball. You know, what he's saying is he wants to know what the identity is, and he doesn't get on why 4th and 6 inches it would make sense to go backwards 8 yards to start the play.
The Badgers get the number one team in the country at Camp Randall under the lights tomorrow, Craig. Oregon is favored by 13.5 points. Is there any shot the Badgers can win that game?
I guess there is. You know, I didn't think there was any chance they could beat Alabama. The one thing I would say about Oregon is, like, we saw Boise State be really competitive with them early in the year. And I think on some levels, it being a night game, may even play against the Badgers because it gives, you know, from a time zone, a little chance more to adjust and all that. So I guess there's a chance. That I see a tiny bit bigger than when Alabama was coming in here, but not much of one.
This was a hot topic on our show yesterday, Craig. Joshy brought it up. He saw, happened to see this making its rounds from the Barstool guys of a guy who was denied a 10th sample of ice cream. They were at an ice cream shop. He had 9 ice cream samples, and the person behind the counter said, no more. That's it for you. As an adult, how many ice cream samples should you get at the ice cream store?
See, I think I'm pushy when it comes to stuff like that, but I don't know that I'm going more than 2. I'm not saying I would expect to be denied at 3, but I think once you get to 3, it's kind of the limit. You're really asking for a 4th? I don't think so. And I'm not saying there's a number that they should deny, but I don't think you can go beyond 3 with common etiquette.
I think everyone above 13 years of age should be denied a single. You get no samples. We're all adults. It's ice cream. You know what these flavors are. Just deal with it. Figure it out.
Come on. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. There are many flavors that you don't know. And things cost a lot these days. And if anything, like, you trying of one, maybe like, oh, I'm going to mix those two. I think it could pay off well for the place. 3 samples, I think, lead to good stuff. That is insane.
I think it's crazy that everyone just has to wait behind you, and you have to take up all the time for you to be scooping. It's ice cream. You'll be fine. If you get a bad flavor, flavor.
No, I guess I was picturing more like you're at a froyo place where you're just like, in, you get the little sampler, like the tiny little.
That's fine.
The little mini Dixie cup thing that you could put a tiny bit in there and see if you like it or not. I mean, come on.
Well, but I feel most of the froyo places.
Abolitionist?
I don't think that's.
I know that means you get the right to vote, but you're like an anti, like, you know, I mean. An anti-samplist or something?
I am anti-samplist.
We need to pass an amendment to make sure it's legal, to make sure everyone can sample. Because Josh, if you become president, it's going to eliminate sampling.
Costco's worst nightmare, Josh DiMaggio.
Did not think we'd get political here this morning, but apparently that's part of Josh's platform. But no, we're talking about an ice cream, not a froyo place, Craig, where you have to ask somebody behind the counter to get the little wooden spoon.
Josh, are you that hungry? You can't wait someone to get a quick sample to see if they like Blue Moon when you don't even know what the flavor is, like you're trying to understand what it is.
If you're an adult, you understand what Blue Moon is.
Yeah, no. Bad example.
I actually still don't. I got to be honest.
Shut up.
I like Blue Moon. I just heard the other day it might be like almonds or something. I never knew that. Like, what is Blue Moon?
So I'm with Craig. Like, have I had Blue Moon
Gabe, you're an adult. You know what Blue Moon is. You don't know what Blue Moon is.
Well, no, but you know what it tastes like.
Yes. Yeah,
like,
I don't know what's
somebody, I'm with you in this. I'm with you in that. If somebody asks me what does Blue Moon taste like, my answer is Blue Moon.
Yes, correct.
Well, don't ask Josh because he's an anti-sampler, so you're not going to get anything from that guy.
Like, I don't need to sample the Blue Moon. I can't describe. I don't have the words in my vocabulary to describe what it tastes like, but I know what Blue Moon is.
Yeah, but there sometimes are combinations, right? Where it's like, oh, and Josh should just be like, hey, you got a bad ice cream, like. Yeah. I mean, don't you think as the store, you would not want the person to have a bad experience?
Suck
you would
it
prefer,
up.
As the store, for them to have a good experience and to know they're getting something they like.
When I order
or
something.
Or it's like, hey, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get this. But for next time, I've always thought about getting that, like, whatever combination sorbet. Let me just get a quick slice, a quick little piece of it. To see if I'm going to want that the next time.
I don't hold it against if I order something and I end up not liking it. I don't hold it against the restaurant or the ice cream shop. It's a me thing. It's not a them
right.
thing. So I'm going back regardless.
That's for you and your therapist. That's for you and your therapist. Like, yeah, like if I don't like food, I'm just going to do better the next time.
Yeah.
Go back and try to
exactly.
kill it.
I'm going
to find something I like. I'm not going to be
Josh,
adventurous.
Josh, how's that restaurant? Oh, it's really great. I just ordered bad. I'm going to go back there again. All the food sucked, but I just got to do better next time.
Exactly. That's how I treat it. It's on me.
There's some things that your palate didn't like.
Right.
Next time you just get cheeseburger.
I've tried to convince myself I'm going to like mezcal for the past decade. Every time I get it, I don't like it. And I'm like, well, I should have learned that lesson by now.
No, you're like, I don't like mezcal, but I'll do better next time.
Exactly.
Keep trying.
Well, you think it's a way you cut it? Like, oh, if I cut it diagonally this time.
I'm trying to find the right combination to make me like it, and I haven't.
So try a little ginger ale with your mezcal.
I'll have to do that. I'll give it one more shot. I'm done after that, though.
Do better, Josh.
All right, I think we can all learn a lesson. We can all do a little bit better. Craig, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for jumping on, bud.
All right, thanks, guys.
Josh is the world's largest dork.
What makes me a dork?
I imagine some people are annoyed of hearing me say the Packers or the Bears have a 0% chance to win on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm way more annoyed by how often I've heard Josh talk about ice cream this week.
Is that because you're somebody who is not an ice cream abolitionist?
No. In fact, the last time I went to get ice cream, which was maybe 2 months ago, went to an ice cream shop in the Third Ward, and I didn't get a sample.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I didn't like my ice cream. Next time I go there, guess what I'm going to do, Joshy?
Get a different one.
No, I'm going to get a sample.
Oh. Yeah, that's just baby brain stuff.
And, I mean, in fairness, his brain isn't fully developed, so maybe it's not on him.
That's, great point. Yeah. Great point. I'm going to use that so often now. Thanks, Skip.
Not Jack says, Blue Moon equals Fruit Loops cereal.
Kind of. Not really.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't.
The thing with the ice cream, it's not specifically reserved to that to the shop or that instance. It's a cultural, it's a society thing. People need to stop blaming everyone else for their bad decisions. You did something dumb. You reached out there. And it also has to do with
smack him like Mike
Tyson. A big deal with it. That's the theme. Live with it. You'll be all right.
Hardo.
Doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Look, you could be dealing with low testosterone and not even realize it. That's where Mentality comes in. It was certainly that way for me. If you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy to attack the day. Could all be signs of low testosterone, and Mentality can fix it and get you on a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. So go to their website, lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is it against the law to be a moron or no?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from
from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We need caller number 4, 800-990-3776, 800-990-3776, to close out the final team that we have in our NBA Emirates Midseason Cup Tournament Bracket Challenge here at ESPN Milwaukee. The Blazers, the final team left. If you are caller 4, 800-990-3776, you will get the Blazers. If they win the whole thing, you win two tickets to a Bucks game. But if you're playing along, your team does not win, well, you can still get your tickets, bucks.com/tickets. Caller number 4, 800-990-3776. Strophy, thanks for filling in, bud.
Absolutely. Have we gotten rid of the sax song?
Hey, we kind of did a sprint here to finish, yeah.
Ridiculous.
We didn't do a good job managing the clock. We didn't earn it.
All right, fair enough. Look forward to talking to you Sunday prior to Packers-Bears.
Yeah, Green Bay game day. Will D and Tausch coming up next.